Thank you very much. Steve Flanders, do you have a question, please, for Mr. D'Amato?
Mr. D'Amato, do you favor or do you believe there should be any reform of the Social Security system, and do you believe that it is presently actuarially sound?
Well, the facts are, Steve, that it is not presently actuarially sound, that we will be headed for additional increases in taxes to fund this next year. I believe that Senator Javits's suggestion that the disability funding should be taken out and it's inappropriate should be done so and should be funded from the general funds rather than the Social Security funds. But there are going to be some very difficult questions that we face in order to ensure that senior citizens will not have to live in fear and will understand that there is a guarantee in terms of income. But it's not simply the answer of saying that I would vote against tax increases to fund it, because then how would we continue that funding today? And so we will have to set up, I believe, a national study committee to make some very difficult decisions in the future. I would not affect any of the benefits of those people who are presently on or change the terms of the conditions.
Thank
I think
you,
we
Mr.
may
D'Amato.
Have to look to reform for those
answered.
Who come into the future.
Senator Javits, 30 seconds.
We have a national study commission, and it has made given reports, and among the questions raised is this disability question. I believe that we have to strengthen and expand the private pension system, because Social Security is bumping its head against the ceiling no matter what you do. And lastly, I think very much that in cooperative activities for elderly people, we can make up a lot in terms of their cooperative support for meals, for transportations, etc.
Thank you, Senator.
That can all be done, and I believe
Congresswoman Holtzman, you have 30 seconds.
I would firmly oppose any suggestion that we in any way abolish the Social Security system. I think it has to be, it is a cornerstone of this country's commitment to our senior citizens, and I think the program has to be preserved and enhanced. We may have to fund programs, Social Security, out of general revenues. We may have to consider removing the disability or funding that in a different way. I also think the Social Security system has been discriminatory with respect to coverage of women, and that has to be reformed.
Your time
will be a top priority in the next
Thank you conference. Very much. Peggy Stockton, please, a question for Senator Javits.
Yes, Senator. All the polls are indicating at this point you are running third. Now, less than a week before the election, are you sorry that you did not drop out after the primary? And if I may ask a second part, if you do lose, what will be the loss to New York State of your seniority?
New York will lose 24 years of seniority, which has given me great clout in the Senate and has enabled me to be very productive for it. And that was the reason that I ran in a time of very grave difficulty. I felt that I could not deprive our people of the asset they had given me. That is they who had to decide that question. And I've said many times, if I lose, I ain't mad at nobody. But in my judgment, I'm the best for them to do the job in a crisis time. And they should have the final opportunity to tell me yes or no. That is why I ran, that is why I am running, and that is why I'll continue to run.
Jim? The first part of that question?
What was that?
Are you sorry?
Oh, not at all. Whenever I do my duty according to my conscience, I'm never sorry, and I'm not now.
Thank you, Senator. Congresswoman Holtzman, do you wish to comment?
I think the decision is one personally for the Senator to respond to, and I would have no comment.
Mr. D'Amato?
No comment.
Okay, the next question, please, will be Doug Edelson to Congresswoman Holtzman.
Ms. Holtzman, a very simple question. What would you do to stem the flow of drugs into this country, set up treatment programs for addicts, and have harsh punishment for those who distribute drugs?
I think the problem of drugs and the flow into the country of drugs has to be dealt with on two levels. One, in terms of foreign policy, and two, in terms of domestic policy. I frankly don't think that the State Department has been tough enough with countries that are responsible for selling and shipping their drugs here, and I think we have to get much tougher, and as Senator, I would get tough for the State Department on this issue. Secondly, I think we have to beef up enforcement locally. I think that the United States has been cutting back with respect to the drug enforcement program. It's been cutting back with respect to drug treatment programs. The formula with respect to the distributions of money discriminates against New York. These are all areas that have to be addressed, as well as making sure that we have enough federal law enforcement personnel vigorously to enforce the laws with respect to the importation of heroin and the like.
Mr. D'Amato, 30 seconds.
Well, the first thing I'd do is see to it that the Drug Enforcement Agency had sufficient in the way of manpower. Just October 4th, when we have this tremendous flow of heroin coming in from all parts of the world, that center was reduced from 24 inspectors down to 4 inspectors. I think the administration's priorities are out of whack. I'd see to it that the LEA funds were continued so that we can aid local law enforcement efforts instead of cutting back on those kinds of essential programs that can help make the
Your time
safe.
Is up, sir. Thank you very much. Senator Javits.
The remedies recommended by my opponents are remedies I have already acted on and will continue to, and they're the right remedies, but they're not the whole ballgame. The whole ballgame is more adequate education of young people as to what drugs mean. That's how the syndrome of heroin for a time was broken, with very young people who are very much subject to it. And we're not doing that effectively in our whole educational system, and we must.
Thank you, Senator, very much. That will be the final question. Now each candidate will have a 2-minute summary, and we will begin with Congresswoman Holtzman.
Thank you very much. I think the voters of the state have a very important choice to make on November 4th. I'm proud to be running for the United States Senate. I offer to the people of this state a record of integrity. What they say about me on the Abscam tapes is, don't even try and bribe that Liz Holtzman. She's too honest to trust. I offer the people of this state a record of independence. I've stood up to presidents. I participated on the Watergate impeachment committee. When no one else would ask President Ford the tough questions about the Nixon pardon, I did that. I've questioned a president of my own party as well. I'm the only one running for the United States Senate that's prepared to stand up to the oil companies and call for a reimposition of controls on the price of American gas and American oil and begin to bring to an end the nightmare that has begun for the American consumer. Home heating oil prices will go down if we impose those controls. Food prices will go down if we impose those controls. Electricity rates will go down if we impose those controls. I'm speaking to the bread and butter issues that affect New Yorkers on a day-to-day basis. I'm prepared to stand up to the insurance companies. We pay in New York State a disproportionately high amount for automobile insurance, and that's wrong, and I've offered a proposal to bring down those rates. The oil companies have their lobbyists in Washington. The insurance companies have their lobbyists. The banks have theirs. Who will be the lobbyist for the people of the state? I intend to be their lobbyist. I intend to be a fighter for their concerns. I intend to be a trustee for their monies. I've been a vigorous opponent of waste in government. I'm someone who believes in making sure that government works as a new generation of Democrat. It would be for me a privilege to represent the people of this state in the United States Senate.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Please. Continuing in the order in which we started, Senator Javits, you're up next.
I have represented the people of this state in accordance with their needs and desires for 24 years, including election and re-election 4 times. And I am able, well able, to continue that with all the resources, the experience. Incidentally, it's interesting that my opponents themselves gave the specifications for a senator in one of our debates, and they were as follows: stature, integrity, ability, leadership. I've got them. What are we looking for? This is really the key to the question as I answered it. Why am I running? I'm running because at a time when we may face grave decisions, you heard it in these questions, about peace and war, at a time when the economy of the country is in the balance and when simplistic solutions won't do, like you straighten it out with government or you put on price controls, which we all know is not going to happen. Ms. Holston may try for it, but it won't happen. You need an intelligent approach to the business system of this country to get something productive out of it. When the people need a cool, experienced, clear head that understands what leadership means and how you make things happen and how you bridge gaps between the opinions of people, I'm there to do it for them if they wish. And that is, in my judgment, the key issue as far as I'm concerned. I hope they do wish it. I'll consider it a sacred duty and one of the greatest joys of my life if they let me complete my service in this way when they need it the most.
Thank you, Senator, very much.
The fact of the matter that this nation is less than adequately prepared is borne testimony, not by Al D'Amato, not by any of the candidates seeking office, but by those who are in charge, by indeed the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, by Admiral Haywood. Let's recognize it, that we may ask, and we have asked, future generations to serve in the interest of this nation, to protect democracy, but they have got a right to expect that we give them the best. We haven't. Let's look at our economy today, racked with inflation, racked with a theory that says that government knows what's best and how to do it. And it's failed the people of this state, and it's failed the people of this nation. Our productivity is down because we've been overregulated, because we've been overtaxed, because we haven't given to the private sector the means by which to bring about capital formation and real jobs and real productivity. I haven't been in Congress the last 8 years or 20 years. I haven't helped build a system that rewards people for no work and penalizes taxpayers and workers. I haven't brought about a system that discourages productivity, that discourages people from moving off the social service system and into the mainstream of society. I think we have forgotten the working middle class taxpayers. I think we've become so imbued with our own rhetoric that we've forgotten what's real and what's attainable. I'd like to work for that, for all of the people of this great state and this great nation.
Mr. D'Amato, thank you very much.
I can't tell you what Governor Reagan said on that mission, but I can tell you the questions I raised. First, let me say that my office told me that you are all in some concern about how I got here. May I say that I've had Judge Summers' explanation of the invitation by Bill Timmons, and to assure you that that's all there is to it. I never talked to any of these people. My office told me I was asked. It was the only time that Governor Reagan and the general election was within reach of New York, and I felt that it was desirable for me to see. And when I tell you what we discussed, I think you will see why, from my point of view, it was desirable. We discussed his attitude on Israel, about which I had spoken in Florida, and I thought I knew how he felt, but I felt that I should be sure, as I'm going to speak of it here tonight, and probably other places before the campaign's over. We also discussed the War Powers Resolution, as he has, as you know, taken a position that he is a man who will seek peace. And you won't recall, but I'd like to remind you, that before I endorsed him, I went to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, only because that's the only place he could see me, and have breakfast with him, and satisfied myself on the fact that I thought he'd be prudent about peace and flashpoints of military conflict, notwithstanding his rather strong statements. And I came away satisfied that he would. And it was only then that I said I would support him. So I wanted to talk to him about the War Powers Resolution, what it said, how it had operated up to now, and to urge him to speak of it as an element of what he would do in fidelity to it in terms of being restrained about war. I said, I thought it would do you a lot of good, I told him. And I thought also that it would do the country good. Not to know that you know the law, of course, you know, anybody can brief you on that, but how you feel about it, how you intend to operate within it, and so on. So to me, that was worth the trip to Chicago or San Francisco. And it was a good opportunity for me, having a half hour with him, you see, in the car, which I knew I would have. That was the arrangement. It was worth it to me, and so I did it.
Senator, was there any discussion of a possible position for you in a Reagan administration?
None whatever. Judge Lefkowitz was with us, and
Senator, did Governor Reagan seem to appreciate the significance of the War Powers Resolution?
He had his, the fellow was with him, I'll get his name in a minute, noted specially and said he would really have it checked out. It was a matter of considerable interest to him. I was very glad to.
Did the governor seem unfamiliar with it?
No, I wouldn't say that, but after all, having me there made it vivid, I'm its author.
Was it your premise that by explaining this, by bringing this up again, you wanted him to speak out to the nation on the fact that he knows that a president is constrained by this resolution?
And that he will, in very good faith, work within it. And that he likes the fact that it exists and feels it's a useful means to have him give the people reassurance against wars.
In other words, that he is not quick on the trigger.
He'll define his terms. I can't tell you that.
You did come away with a sense that he appreciated the significance.
Exactly, of exactly, and that he would embrace it. That's what I wanted to, convince him to do. Now, I don't know that I did or didn't, but in any case, I had my chance.
Do you hope that your appearance with him in New Jersey will have some repercussions that would, ramifications that would help him in New York?
I think it's quite irrelevant, really, because, I met him at the plane, as you all saw. We rode in the car, which gave me the opportunity to talk to him. When we arrived, it was not a relevant situation to anything in which I could help him. And similarly, in this older citizens meeting, I stayed long enough to be introduced, which was about 3 minutes, and left, because I had to get back up here.
Did the governor express?
So I really don't think it had any relevance whatever to the beyond the fact that I do support him.
Excuse me, Senator, we do have an audience.
Let's finish this up.
Sure.
I thought we were going to do it out there, Joe.
Okay.
Do you feel your time was best used for your campaign by cutting out from 2:30 until now to be with him?
I think my time, considering the fact that I couldn't go on up to Watertown anyhow, my time was best used in the interests of the country and my state and the things I believe in doing it. And I thought it would be less hours than it was, but like all these things, it drags out.
Senator, do you get any sense that Governor Reagan would like to see you win? Did he express hope that you would win?
We really didn't discuss the senatorial campaign. Sure. Whatever. I respected his position. He sought to be neutral in the matter, as you all know, and obviously he respected mine.
Does he regard himself as neutral today?
I don't.
You said he sought to be neutral.
No, that was in the connection of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
No, we didn't discuss it at all. Senate thing didn't come up at all. And that's very understandable because I had no intention to, and obviously he did. Didn't need them.
I had heard that you might be going to Chicago Saturday, Mr. Reagan. Is that true?
Yeah.
No?
Didn't hear it from
and
us.
I didn't
brand
say.
Brand new to me.
No.
That's what I was asking. No intention.
No plan. I've never heard about it.
Okay.
I hope to do the next, days of intensive campaigning. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in the city. I'm going upstate tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Thank
somebody
you.
Grab yes, this for us.
Senator Jacob Javits, by his support of this program to bring improved primary health care to the people of Queens, has once again demonstrated his support of improved health and human welfare for the people of the city and the state of New York. We're very pleased to welcome him here today in view of the fact that this act once again proves that with hard and long work, political people can make a significant influence on health care of citizens.
You like it?
Say a couple of words.
How are you, Senator?
Good. Had a big day taping, and I got to do more. What's the thrust?
Hello, Alan.
Hello, Jack.
How are you?
What's the thrust of these?
Sorry, we disappointed you about Watertown.
Well.
We were in trouble.
What's the thrust of these new commercials?
Well, I'll be going on the air, and we'll show them to you tomorrow. It's a closing campaign, which will give my situation and how I feel and what I think needs to be done now and why I'm in it. And I felt that that's something that spots couldn't communicate. I had to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Which I have now done.
Do you respond to the Times editorial?
Yes, I don't respond to it in hoc verba, but in effect I do. That is, I'm in it, and I say why, and I certainly tell the voter that I wouldn't be arrogant enough to tell him how to vote. He's free to vote any way he pleases, and I won't be mad at anybody, no matter what he does. So I don't see the big point made by the Times. I can't control votes, and I never pretended to.
Are you angry at the Times?
No.
Are you unhappy about the fact that in September they said they love you and now they don't?
Well, I think they still say they love me, but they would like me to do something, which is very difficult. I've thought about it, of course. I've been asked so many times, how could I avoid thinking about it? So I had to make that decision long before the Times editorial.
Doesn't it seem, though, that there's an excellent chance that you and Holzman will divide up the vote enough to allow D'Amato to...
I don't know. I can't speculate on that. I mean, whoever decided an election on polls, and that's what the Times wishes me to do. They want me to withdraw from the race because of the polls. And I just feel that the voter... certainly has every opportunity to do as he pleases. And I've made it very clear that nobody has committed to me. And as I say, I won't be insulted no matter what they do or how small a vote I get. And I'll be deeply gratified if I win it. And I think I can do what the people need done. So I don't see how, under those circumstances, I can be asked to make these nice distinctions, which may, be suitable to them. But after serving 24 years, I think Mayor Koch's quote is pretty appropriate. How can anybody be so arrogant as to tell the incumbent, who has had 24 years of service, that he should get out?
Senator, why are you going with Governor Reagan to Newark this afternoon, the last week of a campaign where you obviously need every effort you can to make an appeal to the New York voters?
I have supported Governor Reagan, and this is their request of me, and we can fit it into our schedule without too much pain and anguish. It's a few hours in the afternoon, and so I thought that as this is the close of his campaign, too, and the requests have been relatively few, that I should honor it.
But he hasn't done anything for you, has he?
Well, I don't know that I live that way. That is, you have to do something for me if I do something for you. I consider it desirable in the interests of the country for this change to be made. And so if a few hours help from me will help to make it, I give it.
Do you find it strange that Mr. Reagan has not asked Mrs. D'Amato to do anything for him?
That's up to Mr. Reagan. There's nothing I can say about that.
The issue of your health, which had been that seemed put aside in the primary, came up again this week. And
came up again how?
Ms. Holtzman's father mentioned.
Well, Ms. Holtzman's father is a Jewish father, and he's got a son who's a doctor. So what do you expect?
How do you account for the fact that you apparently are running very well upstate, perhaps in contradistinction to the downstate relative showing?
Well, people upstate perhaps have paid closer attention to what I've got to offer in terms of effectiveness in the Senate. I've done a great deal upstate, you know, notwithstanding the effort in the primary campaign to cut me down. The fact is that I've been of great usefulness to practically every city and town and village and county upstate where these things count heavily, whether it's sewage or housing or education or health. People notice those things. It's important news when a community gets a federal grant or federal assistance, and my name is very often attached to them. And that's what I attribute it to. I really delivered. I've done it for New York City, too. But in the rush and maybe the New York City feeling, people don't pay as much attention as I wish they had.
Senator, you said you considered pulling out.
I considered their attitude. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say, and I decided that I was entitled to an answer from the people. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm doing, but I'm making it. Pardon?
When did you consider it? You mean last
night? I consider it all the time. I've been asked this question since the primary. Mm-hmm. So it's nothing new.
You talk about the possibility of small numbers. Does that distress you?
No, I talked about the fact that I won't be angry at anybody, no matter what the numbers. The public, I hope and I believe that people feel that way, will vote as it pleases. Whatever they choose is fine with me. If they tell me it's time to quit, that's it. On the other hand, I hope very much, and I'm trying very hard, to persuade them that it's time for me to be elected.
If I may, on the health question again, I would assume that your decision to stay in means that your continuing reviews of the health situation will lead you to think things are as...
I have no continuing reviews. I've been at this for 9 months. What other proof do you want? There's enough pressure in this to knock down younger men than I.
Hi. To work with Senator Javits today because he's such an incredibly valuable asset to the Republicans in the Senate. And he's the glue that holds us all together to a great extent. He's put forth some economic programs that every one of the Republican senators from all edges of the spectrum, whether it's Jesse Helms or Gordon Humphrey or whoever it is, have all joined in. Not only that, but our tax programs, and he's just been a magnificent influence. So I'm here supporting him, doing what I can. Hope the voters of New York will respond.
Senator, do you find yourself in a strange position following the results of the New York primary and supporting Senator Javits on a ticket when he has a Republican Party opponent?
No, I don't, because I've known Senator Javits for many, many years, and of course I've had great respect for him while I've been in the Senate, and so I just think he's an incredibly valuable asset again to have, and be such a shame to lose him. So I want to do what I can to be of assistance.
Do you regret the Republican Senate Campaign Committee's decision to give $770,000 to Mr. D'Amato and nothing to Mr. Javits?
No, I can see why they do that, because the money that came to them was money that was given for Republican candidates. Those were the ground rules. And so they operate within those ground rules. So I'm sorry that some of it didn't go to Senator Javits, but I understand completely the ground rules that they are operating under.
Well, I understand the ground rules, too. The only thing I can say is it's rather sardonic that I helped to raise a good deal of that money.
That I can understand that, too. Senator Javits appeared at so many of the gatherings, would speak. They'd have the people in, as you know. They'd have gatherings during the day, and then a reception in the evening, and I guess Senator Javits' attendance at those was as good as any other senator's. There's unquestionably, I can understand any feelings he has about it.
Well, it's too bad. That's all I can say.
$700,000, that's a lot of money.
A lot
lot of fun.
Thank you all.
Pleasure this morning to have Senator Javits from New York and Senator Chafee from Rhode Island to visit us. I'd like to introduce Ed Rothschild, who will give you a description of the legislature and the grant that we were able to secure.
Senator Javits, Senator Chafee, very pleased to welcome you here on behalf of the Queens Hospital Center and the Long Island Jewish Hillside Medical Center affiliation, which provides the professional services here at Queens. Senator Javits has served for a number of years as a senior member of the Labor and Human Resources Committee of the Senate. And in 1978, his office wrote and he sponsored the Primary Health Care Act, Public Law 95-626, of which Section 328 relates to the provision of funds for hospital-affiliated primary care centers. This bill was passed in 1978, but like many such bills, was not funded until Senator Javits managed to get funding through a joint conference committee in 1979. Of the 11 grants that have been given in the United States, three of them have come to the city of New York, one to Queens Hospital Center, one to Bronx Municipal Hospital Center, and one to Harlem Hospital, under the aegis of the Health and Hospitals Corporation, which promoted the initial development of these grants. Queens Hospital Center serves a major medically underserved area of Queens. 65% of the patients in our outpatient department come from a federally defined medically underserved area. These areas are defined nationally as those lacking certain primary care physician types, including family practitioners, general practitioners, internal medicine docs, obstetricians, gynecologists, and pediatricians. Indeed, in the area of South Jamaica, that is the primary medically underserved area this grant will cover, we deviate as much as 70% from these standards. The area that Queens serves in its ambulatory care services is also very seriously ill. Using a variety of health indicators, while the borough of Queens is better than the city as a whole, the particular area we're speaking of has a significantly higher incidence of low birth weight children, inadequate prenatal care for mothers, gonorrhea, hepatitis, drug dependence, suicide, etc. The purpose of this grant is to enable us to do planning that we would normally be unable to do. Our hospital runs approximately 346 distinctly labeled clinics, providing approximately 250,000 ambulatory care visits, in addition to which we serve 90,000 patients through our emergency room. These patients lack a primary care focus, a physician to provide continuity of care, a grouping of physicians to care for the family.